Welcome to Understanding the New Carried Interest Provisions. I'm Bob Keebler, and today please join me for a brief discussion of a bill working its way through the House and the Senate regarding carried interest. Now, I'm taping this on Friday, June 4th, 2010. So what I'm talking about is still subject to change, but the general principles here are what's important. And we will update this probably with a LISI newsletter once we see exactly where the Senate and House come out on this in committee. But this is so important, we wanted to bring you this news quickly. Now, a carried interest is broadly defined as a partnership interest received in exchange for services. And it's typically a income interest only. And when you receive an income interest in return for services, what the law provides is that that is not immediately a taxable event. So prior law provides an income interest. The law today provides an income interest is not taxable upon receipt. And if you want to see the basis for that, look at Rev. Proc. 2001-43 and Rev. Proc. 1993-27. Further, when you receive a partnership interest, you receive advantageous flow-through income treatment on capital gains and qualified dividends. Now, what this means is that hedge fund managers, private equity managers, would contribute their expertise, and these are very, very talented people, they're contributing their expertise in exchange for a partnership interest. Now, oftentimes that would be like a 20% profits interest, something like that. Now, what happened, though, is when they received flow-through, the flow-through would be dividends, the flow-through would be the sale of long-term capital gain property, and they would be taxed on that basis. So that's very important. Also, there'd be no income upon receipt, and later, when they sold or exchanged this partnership interest, they would receive long-term capital gain treatment. And what that means is that if I contribute my services in 2010, in exchange for, and there's a two-year rule here, but I contribute my partnership, my services, in exchange for a partnership interest, I receive back this partnership interest, and 3 years later I sell it for, I have no basis, I sell it for $300,000. That $300,000 is going to be long-term capital gain. Now, that's the law today. The argument on the behalf of the senators and congressmen that are attempting to change this is that if that were, if that were normal wage type income or services type income, it would be taxed as ordinary income, and you'd also pay the requisite Social Security and Medicare taxes. So these things are all out there, but the bottom line is for a person caught in this, it's a bad deal. So today, the law gives me capital gain treatment. Also gives me flow through treatment, which largely on qualified dividends and on securities sold in these private equity and hedge funds would be typically long-term capital gain. Now, the same concepts that we're talking about apply directly to real estate investors too. And I talked to many CPAs across the country from coast to coast on this. And for the real estate investors, this is an even bigger deal because so many times people take a carry, they create the partnership, they bring their expertise to the table, it's a long-term event for them, and they receive some type of profits interest. Well, under the law, that wasn't taxed up front, and later when they sold out, they would receive capital gain treatment. I've been involved personally in partnerships like this where the people providing their expertise, deep real estate expertise, receive part of the partnership in exchange for their expertise. It's an awfully good transaction for them. Now, if enacted, a carried interest will be taxable upon receipt based upon a willing buyer, willing seller valuation concept. And what we're looking at right now is that is under Act Section 411, which would revise IRC Section 83 C4A. And that's not important. These citations may change based upon which version is eventually adopted by Congress. Now, if enacted, the statute will also provide a way you can elect out of ordinary income treatment. So you would be able to make a special 83B election and say, wait a minute, I don't want to pay income tax up front. I will I will pay income tax later when I sell this. Now, I would imagine most people in these transactions would elect out and not pay tax up front because, again, on the front end of these partnerships, something may be valued at $100 where you don't know if it's going to go to $1,000 or if it's going to fall on its face and not be worth anything. So most people will be electing out. But the election out, under the way the law is going to be written, is just like an 83B election. It has to be done within 30 days. So this is very important to understand. Now, the statutes are also going to provide that the sale of a portion of the carried interest is going to be ordinary income. And that will be for basically new issuance after the date of enactment, but it's also going to catch existing issuances that are already out there. And finally, the income upon both receipt and upon sale will be subject to Social Security and Medicare taxes. So very important to understand that this is a big swing in tax rate. So today, the rate would be about 15% in round numbers, the federal rate. Tomorrow, it will be 39.6 plus the Medicare portion of the tax. So this can be a very big swing, and it's going to affect cash flow for the people that are have such deep expertise and are putting these deals together. Now, it appears that estates of deceased orders, owners of carried interest will not receive a step-up in basis. This is not clear, okay? But odds are on the ordinary income portion, there's not going to be a step-up in basis. The issue now that the Senate and House have to reconcile is what portion will be ordinary and what portion will be capital gain. So we may end up with a 50-50 mix. We may end up with a 75-25 mix. And the step-up in basis is far from clear how that's going to play out. The IRS is going to have to rule on that, and my guess is eventually that will make it through the court system. Now, for 2011 and 12, the way the statutes are written right now, 50% would be ordinary income, and then in 2012, 75%, or after 2012, 75% would be ordinary income. I wouldn't worry about this mix too much right now. Now, the thing you should worry about, though, is the statute also imposes, if it makes it through through reconciliation, a 40% penalty on underpayments caused by failure to comply with these new rules. So that is a big penalty. The penalty normally would be 20%. They double that penalty. I have a couple examples which might help us. In 2011, Tom receives a carried interest in exchange for services. The carried interest is valued at $100,000. Under prior law, that would be a non-taxable event. Under the new statute, Tom will have to recognize income tax unless he elects out within 30 days. And later, if he elects out, he'll pick up ordinary income when he sells that interest. Now, going forward, a lot of hedge fund managers are involved in this. So let's say Tina receives a carried interest in January 2011 in exchange for her services. The carried interest is valued at $100,000. If Tina elects out of immediate tax treatment, later when she receives dividends and qualified capital gains, that's going to be subject to the tax rate in effect at that point in time. We do not know what's going to happen to the qualified dividend rate. The dividend rate might stay at 15 or 20%, or it could go back to ordinary tax rates. So we just have to see how that works its way through Congress this fall. Now, let's say Tina sells the interest she received in January 2011 and February 2013. The way the law is written right now is 75% of that would be subject to ordinary income tax and 25% subject to capital gains tax. But again, we don't know what that really means. But today, a current law, if nothing changed in the tax rate, capital gain rate was 20%. The approximate rate on Tina on this would be at 42% now. So, you know, when you're looking at the new law, when you have a 39.6% rate plus the effect of Medicare rate. So these are all important things that we have to look at. Now, going forward, income recognition, again, if Tina sold her old interest, the interest she received 5 or 6 years ago, she is going to have the same type of structure. I mean, part of that is going to be subject to ordinary income tax wherever Congress ends up on this. So the important thing to really recognize is this is not just private equity and hedge fund managers. This can be someone that's just a real estate developer that puts deals together, puts together very nice, clean, solid deals and takes a 5 or 10% carry in exchange for his services. This will change how he or she is taxed. Now, The interesting thing from a planning standpoint is carried interest sold before January 1st, 2011 fall within the current law and will likely receive capital gain treatment. There's nothing to prevent that. Now, third-party sales are ideal. Inter-family sales and entity sales should be respected, but you have to look at you have to take a careful look at 707B and also at how 1239 may creep into that. But if you sell to a non-grantor trust, that may be just the transaction to make this work. You can always sell an installment note and elect out of installment treatment. Building into your transaction, the recognizing and talking about the non-tax benefits such as asset protection and estate planning is going to add a lot of substance. So if you represent someone who has these carried interests right now, maybe they negotiate with the partnership to sell them back to the partnership and receive capital gain treatment today. Because let's say that I have a carry worth $1 million today. If I sold today, let's say I lived in Florida, I'd pay $150,000 in tax. But if I sell tomorrow, that tax is going to go way up, not just because of the increase in the capital gains rate, but because a portion, say 50% or 75% of that, is going to be taxed as ordinary income. Not only that, the Medicaid tax or Medicare tax will also be caught in that. So I think there's a lot of planning that can be done here. It's a matter of identifying those clients with these carries and trying to work through this. So again, today is June 4th, 2010. This bill has not been signed by the president yet, but we expect it to work its way through with the extenders bill. And after we have reconciliation, I'll write about this for Lissy and smooth out the exact percentages. But the concept is what's so important. And what's really important right now is for you to reach out to your clients that have these carried interests and let them know what's happening here in Congress and how to plan for this, how to structure these sales in the next 6 months to capture that capital gain rate rather than the ordinary income tax rate. Again, thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to writing on this for Lissy.